In the chaos you see glory. From the wreckage light is shining through. As you open up these weary eyes, all around me colors changing. Though I'm broken, hope is breaking through. As you open up these weary eyes, I wanna see what you see. Come and rearrange me. Let your love be my kaleidoscope. Change me from the inside. Show me what it looks like. Let your love be my kaleidoscope.
Change me from the inside. Let your love be my kaleidoscope. I just love those words. Brad and Lisa, thank you so much for sharing that song. It's even fun being able to see you watching on the live stream right now. So good morning. Welcome to worship here at Columbia Grove. My name is Andrew. I'm the senior pastor here. And we're so thrilled that you could join us this morning for this time of worship. During this time of coronavirus, our hope through these online services is just to enable us, even from a distance, to be able to stay connected and connected well. And happy Father's Day to all you fathers out there. And I'm thinking, I haven't seen for certain, he often comes on anonymously. I think my dad is on the stream too. So happy Father's Day, Dad. Love you. Thanks for watching. And also just a shout out to my daughters at home. I'm really enjoying this morning with this team here. These are my second favorite group of people to hang out with, but I'm kind of wishing on some level that I could be watching and worshiping with you on the couch right now. That would be kind of fun. And also I want to give a shout out to our house churches. We have a number of groups where multiple families are meeting together to watch this. So if you are part of a house church right now, would you just leave a comment in somewhere in the stream so we can encourage one another? And our house churches are going to be one of the ways as we move forward, one of the options for worshiping together so that we continue to worship and we continue to stay connected. Now, one of the things I did want to give you a bit of an update on is that as recently as last Thursday, we've heard some updates from the health district and from the governor's office that could enable us to actually reopen for in-person worship services pretty soon. So I wanted to just talk about that just for a moment. First of all, that as we do and as we are working hard towards that end, just know that we are... We're going to do everything that we can to just ensure safety. We believe that one of the ways that we can love like Jesus during this season is to allow ourselves to be to go the extra mile and even at times to be inconvenienced for the sake of the vulnerable. So we've been carefully poring over at this point the 5 pages of guidelines and requirements, and as soon as we can meet all of those requirements, we're going to be able to offer in-person services again. So we're looking forward to that. The second commitment that I want you to hear from me is that we are committed to continuing to offer high-quality online worship services, because we know that even when we are able to reopen the building to in-person worship services, that for some of you, whether it's for health concerns or you've got young children or it's just a better fit, or for the many who are just watching from a distance, that this is going to be one of the ways, or probably your best way even, to stay connected. So even as we resume in-person services soon, we're going to be resuming as one congregation, in person and online, both groups working together. I imagine you may have some questions about that. We have an online Zoom forum right after the worship service, and I'd love to meet you there, and we can answer some questions live, and other members of our church staff will be there as well, and so we can kind of talk about that. You can see the link for that either in the All Church email that you would have received yesterday morning, or one of our online pastors could maybe post the Zoom, well, they'll post one of that Zoom link in the comments towards the end of our time together. So thanks for doing that. Speaking of online pastors, we have a prayer team that would love to pray with you. So you can post prayer requests and our online pastors will interact with you that way. You can private message us and we'll be praying for you that way. Or there also are, you can see in the video notes, phone numbers of numbers that you could be calling right now and just talk to somebody. Somebody from our prayer team that would love to talk with you, pray with you, minister to you. We are all in this together. Couple other quick things before we move on. Thanks for your giving. You've been enormously generous. Thanks for giving to the food bank. That's been incredibly helpful. And as we are looking to move into being able to reoffer in-person worship services, if you would like to give something a little bit extra, as you might imagine, meeting 5 pages of requirements does have some additional expenses. We didn't have a budget category for pandemic in our general fund planning, just like you probably didn't in your home budget as well. So if you can, and you can help towards that, that would be greatly, greatly appreciated. A little bit later in the worship service, we are going to be celebrating the sacrament of Holy Communion. Now, here in the church with our worship team, we'll be using these little packets. And actually, this is the same thing, the self-serve packets that we'll be using when we are able to resume for in-person services, at least for the conceivable, or at least the near future. But if you're worshiping at home or you're worshiping with one of the house churches, find some bread. Find some juice, and we will have an opportunity to serve one another communion that way. And then finally, please, if you haven't on Facebook liked Columbia Grove yet, please do that. It'll allow you to stay in touch that way, or subscribe to if you're watching us on YouTube right now. And if you can share this video, that is going to be another way to spread the word and get your friends involved. Oh, one other thing I forgot. In relation to the to some of the building reopening piece, which is on probably on your mind, if you are not yet receiving our email updates, and you would like to do that, please send an email to office@columbiagrove.org. We'll put that on the screen. And if you would like to volunteer, like we're going to need some help to prepare the building, to do all sorts of, you know, all of the things that are needed. If you would like to help with some of that, or you want to be available for that, send Pastor Paul an email at paul@columbiagrove.org. All right. Well, let's open up in prayer, and then I'm going to turn it over to the amazing worship team behind me to lead us in worship. God, we thank you that we can gather together online from the church platform to armchairs, living rooms, breakfast nooks, and house churches, wherever people are worshiping today. Lord, this is a difficult time, and it's really easy to get caught up in the news cycles and maybe even in the anxiety and in the worry. But Lord, would you use this time to anchor our hearts, to remind us of who you are and who we are in you? Lord, we want to give you our full attention right now. And thank you that you have given your full attention to us. You meet our deepest needs, first and foremost for forgiveness through Jesus dying on the cross and welcoming us through his forgiveness into your family, but also through the ongoing presence of your Holy Spirit. And so, Holy Spirit, we invite you into this time. Open our hearts up to you, to each other, to what you're saying to us. And minister to us as we seek to minister to one another as well. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And so as Karen and the team are leading us, I just invite you to maybe encourage one another with if you could describe what you're asking God to do in your life today in one word or in a short phrase, would you just post that so that we can encourage one another and just help one another to focus on Jesus together. So, God bless you as you worship.
Well, good morning, Columbia Grove. It is so good to be in God's house today. And I look forward to the day when we can worship together again in person. But I'm so thankful that we can still connect today, even over the internet. So will you join Eric and Elijah and I as we lead you in worship with this song?
You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand, and I will call upon your name, and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace. Abounds in deepest waters, your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, you never thank you.
praise today for a God that keeps his promises, who has promised to never leave us nor forsake us, that no matter what we face in these troubling, uncertain times, that we can rest assured that he will walk with us every single step of the way. Will you sing this with me today? Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior.
God, I want to simply say thank you. I could just stop praying after those two words. Thank you. Everything we have, see, touch, and breathe is because of you. On this day called Father's Day, we give thanks and praise and continued prayers for fathers, for soon-to-be fathers, and for those who are a father figure in someone's life. Thank you, Lord, for fathers. I'd like to pray now for our local, county, state, and national government officials. May they make good decisions for all of us. May each of these elected men and women go to you for guidance. These are unique times, Lord. Times of job loss, times of coronavirus, businesses closing their doors, financial and job uncertainty for many. Lord, watch over those around the world, and especially here in our own Wenatchee Valley, who don't see a future or any hope in their lives. May they come to you for hope under difficult situations. Watch over the defenseless, the unborn, the elderly, the hungry, the persecuted, the homeless, and those on the margins of society. Lord, give them peace. Thanks for the leadership team here at Columbia Grove and how God is developing all leaders in our church. I'd like to pray for missionaries, especially those who are teaching your word in areas where it isn't always popular. Lord, keep them safe. I know today there are hurting people listening to my voice, the lonely, the sick, those involved in struggling marriages, suffering from addictions, suffering from anxiety, suffering financial pressure. I pray for each of them to look to you for guidance, for hope and reassurance. Today, we especially remember Tammy Wilson in our prayer for health and for her pain to go away. A praise for Gina Marianne Halverson on a new grandchild, for Starla Bickford as she prayers for her grandson. We also pray for Greg and Marnie as they are in a time of transition and moving. We pray for those grieving, the Schwark family over the passing of Carl, the Belton and Penfold families over the passing of John. Lord, now I'd like to bring Andrew in front of you as he gives his message today. Guide him and give him boldness to preach the message you have put on his heart to share. Love like Jesus. Amen.
Thank you so much, Paul, for leading in prayer. Just appreciate that. And thank you again, worship team, for leading us in worship. If you're commenting along, do you keep a journal or a diary of any sort? So if you do, just maybe put in a yes in the comments so we can encourage one another. Keeping a prayer journal has been a relatively new thing in my life. It's something really I've only done in the last year. And it's kind of interesting as you just chart through, you know, in my case, just kind of thoughts and prayer requests to see how God answers. It can be a real great faith builder as, you know, you pray a request one day and the next day or two or three, you see those prayers answered. But even in the midst of a lot of prayers being answered and a lot of hope being found in a prayer journal, there's also in there, if I'm being honest, there are some things in there where there are prayers that go unanswered. And prayers that might show up page after page after page after page, day after day after day after day. Now, if you're in one of your house church groups, one of the questions you might talk about, whether it's right now or you can actually find these discussion questions in the video notes, is you know, what is a prayer that you've all but given up on? Because that's what happens sometimes, isn't it? Or maybe you'd like to comment along. Maybe, if your prayer involves a person, don't list the names. Facebook is a public place. But I think we all have those things. We have those things in our life, people we're praying for, situations we're praying about, that it just seems like nothing happens. And so that's why today, and the passage we're going to look at today, is so incredibly important and so relevant, because we all have those places of frustrated prayers, of unanswered prayers. And the story that we're going to look at, and we're going to be in Acts chapter 3, the story of Peter and John as they meet this lame beggar. This story, it helps to clear up a couple of things that are just probably our most common misconceptions about how God works miracles and how God works healing. And the cry of my heart is that this would be something to just be deeply encouraging to you, especially in those areas of your life where your prayers feel frustrated. So if there is one phrase I'd like you to remember today, we'll put it on the screen. And if you're taking notes, this would be a good one to write down. If there's one thing you remember, it's this. Just because you've given up on hope, it doesn't mean that God has given up on you. Just because you've given up on hope, it doesn't mean that God has given up on you. So as we pick up the story in Acts chapter 3, so this is shortly after Pentecost, and the church is growing really quickly, and believers, they're just sharing with one another in some really generous ways. And there's a line in here that says, "And many signs and wonders were performed by the apostles." Well, at the beginning of Acts chapter 3, we first see the first real example of, like, with some detail of what that might look like. So I'd like us to read through Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 16. We're going to go through a few passages and kind of pause a little bit and some things about the situation that I want us to notice, because I think the further we go into this passage and this story, the more we're going to understand how God is at work in our lives in some of those hidden places and in some of those hidden ways. And I hope it's going to be deeply encouraging. So let's pick it up in verse 1. So one day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at about 3 p.m. Now a man who was lame from birth, note that. So somebody who has had a physical ailment for a very, very long time. We'll learn later in Acts chapter 5 that he's had this for 40 years, but he's been lame from birth, was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Now, as I think about this story, so here's somebody who's had a physical ailment for a very, very long time. He's had this challenge, if you will, since birth. For most of us, the deepest challenges we struggle with are ones that we've carried for a long time. Now, maybe it's a physical ailment of some sort, but oftentimes it's emotional, it's relational, how we feel about ourselves, how we feel about the people around us, how we look at those things. We have these deep, deep challenges. We have these deep, deep areas of woundedness in our life. We have a lot in common with this beggar, when you really think about it. Now, the text doesn't specifically say this, but we can only imagine that. So here's somebody, and he's got something going on with his ankles, something going on with his feet, and as a little boy, you got to assume that he would look at his situation and then wonder why he couldn't do some of the things that the other little boys in his neighborhood could do. And he grew up near the temple, so he was exposed to faith on some level. I mean, you got to assume that he would wonder at some point, well, God, why can't this get better? Why can't my feet work? Why can't I run? Why can't I walk? God, why could you please heal me? We can only assume that as a little boy, he would have prayed for God's healing and help in his situation. But as we get to this point, 40 years in, 40 or 40 plus years in, he's not praying for that anymore. What he's asking for as Peter and John go by, what did he ask for? Do you remember from the text? He asked for money. You know, it's funny sometimes in our prayer life, you know, there's those things, those areas of just deep longing and maybe even deep woundedness. It's easy to give up. And it's easy to, instead of just asking for the big miracle, to be essentially just asking for spare change. Hey, mister, got any spare change? And it seems in this text as well that as Peter and John are going by, this beggar is interacting with them in the way that if you've ever run into somebody that was begging on the street. Now, I know this isn't true in every case, but oftentimes there is a distantness in somebody's eyes. They've given up. People have passed them by so many times that oftentimes, and I know this is not always true, but oftentimes they just can't or won't make eye contact. And so it's interesting that the first step in what is going to be this incredible story of healing is for Peter to say to him, "Look at us." And so the man gave them his attention, verse 5, expecting to get something from them. He looked. He made a human connection. One of the things we need to remember about how the Holy Spirit works is that the Holy Spirit generally works through people. He speaks through the Word, but he also speaks through his people. And as God does, especially those transformational miracles in our lives, very frequently, he's gonna use another believer to deliver the message, to deliver the hope. And it starts with that connection. And here's why I want to encourage you, because you see, now something really dramatic is about to happen in his life, but at this moment, the only faith that he can muster up, the only faith this beggar has, is faith enough for a quarter. He has just enough faith to ask the passerby for a buck. Hey, mister, you got any spare change? Because one of the things that we sometimes think, falsely think, about healing and miracles and how God works is we think that on some level that it depends on us to muster up enough faith for God to work. So let's see what happens. Verse 6. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I will give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. He helped him up. And instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. he jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. Where all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. So the first step in this man's healing was to be willing to receive help. That somebody would reach out, and the only faith it took from this lame beggar was enough faith to receive the hand that is extended. And so I want to encourage you, as you think about the areas in your life and the areas in my life where we find those deep, deep prayers, those deep prayers that perhaps you've even given up on, is to consider, who has God placed in your life that is reaching out? Because when you see that hand extended, take it. Take it. Receive the help. It doesn't take that much faith. It just takes enough faith to ask for a quarter and to be expecting that maybe out there somewhere, God can use someone to help. And then we move on to the rest of the story. And starting with verse 11. So while the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished, and they came running to the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites," I just love this, "why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we made this man walk?" We'll come back to that. Pay attention there. "The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed. You disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this." "By faith in the name of Jesus." This is important. "By faith in the name of Jesus, this man who you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see." You know, one of the second misconceptions we have about healing is that somehow healing may be dependent on the one who's praying for the healing, the one who's praying for somebody else's healing. But you know, here Peter, he rightly blows past all of that. When healing happens in somebody's life, it's not because of the degree of faith of the one who is praying for the healing. It's not because of the degree of faith of the one who is praying for their healing. It's because of the power of Jesus' name. Now, if we were in a live room, this would be an amen moment. I don't know if this is an amen moment, but here we go. It's the power of Jesus' name. And I love how how Peter says this. Why does this surprise you? Do you realize, friends, that the God who can raise Jesus Christ from the dead is the same God who can really easily heal you from bitterness? The same the same God who raised Jesus Christ from the dead can give you the strength to be able to forgive. The same God that raised Jesus from the dead can give you the strength to break that family line of abusive dads or failed marriages. That same Jesus, it's not even hard for him. So why does it surprise you? It's not because of this man's faith. It's not because of your righteousness. It's all because of Jesus. It's in Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him. We are saved by faith. Absolutely. We are saved by the faith that is given to us through Jesus. It's funny, like this, we are all just like this lame beggar. Like, if you've ever come to Christ, and I just think of you know, the moments in, you know, my, you know, 13-year-old me as I was coming to Jesus and came to understand my need for a personal relationship with him. The things I was looking for in my life were like, you know, God, there's a bit of a sense of a hole in my soul, you know? God, would you fill the hole in my soul? You know, spare change, God. And God not only filled that hole, he gave me heaven. We ask for things that are so small and God delivers so big in response. Do you hear me? You know, we ask for a quarter and he gives us eternity. You know, we ask for, I mean, you know, so whether it's the bartering with God, God, if you get me out of this and, you know, or whatever it is, you know, God, if you help me, you know, get this girl's attention. And if you'll do that, I'll do anything for you. And oftentimes he responds to that very need. He answers your request for a quarter, but he gives you eternity in response.
So good.
Yeah. And so I want to encourage you, church, today. Pray big. Jesus' name is powerful. In Jesus' name, miracles happen. You know, even as Christians, we tend to trust in ourselves over God far too often. We fall into those same patterns. But friends, you know, our hope is not in a grand reopening plan. It is in Jesus. Our hope, church, is not in a politician. It is in Jesus. Our hope is not in even getting what you asked for. It is in trusting Jesus to get what you truly need. We ask him for a quarter and he delivers eternity in response. We ask him for help with the immediate ailment, and very often he delivers that, most of the time through somebody else, but he gives us so much more. So church, get your hopes up. And one of the things that is... I mean, it is really easy sometimes to, in this season of tremendous uncertainty, to live our faith kind of like we're hunkered in a bunker. You know, we're like all this stuff, it's going on and it feels out of control. It feels crazy. And to just go, God, would you just please protect me? And those are valid prayers. Those are valid emotional responses. There are so many times I just feel that too. But church, we need to stop living in fear and we need to start living with trust in Jesus. It's in Jesus' name that this man is healed. So why does it surprise you that the God who can raise Jesus from the dead can do a miracle work in you, in me, and in all those places where we are just like this beggar? You know, during this time, one of the reasons I wanted us to be in the book of Acts is because, you know, the early church, they faced tremendous challenges. And we are too. The early church faced a future that was at times so uncertain, so unknown. And we do too. I'm gonna get a little bit risky here. So I've probably had this conversation a dozen times in the last 3 weeks, you know, as Christians are talking about, you know, where in the Bible they're reading. And there's a lot of people right now that they're in this time and it just looks like everything's going crazy. And so they're like, we got to be in the book of Revelation. And that's a good place to be. If you're opening the Bible, that's good. Be in the book of Revelation. That's good. Make sure to read the end, by the way. Don't just stop in the middle. Make sure you read the whole thing because God wins. The one liability of being in a place like a book like Revelation is we can sometimes feel like, okay, I've got to understand all this. I've got to put my chart together just right. I've got to find all the right categories. I've got to figure out how what's been prophesied here is happening here. And, you know, that's valid and that's good and it can be good to study like that. It's absolutely okay. But remember, friends, you can get the chart wrong. And if you get Jesus right, you're still going to be all right. The answer is not in us figuring it all out and us having the plan all mapped out and knowing the answers or being able to even anticipate what's coming next. Our hope isn't in a plan. Our hope isn't in a chart. Our hope is in a Savior. Yep. A Jesus who by the Holy Spirit, God raised from the dead, and that same power, that same name lives in you. So read wherever you like. But friends, don't stay hunkered in a bunker. Don't live in fear. We are just like that lame beggar. We're just like that lame beggar. And the only faith it takes for us is just enough faith to reach out. So let me come back to that final statement before we close in prayer. Okay? Just because you've given up on hope, it doesn't mean that God has given up on you. How much faith does it take to receive God's healing and miracles in your life, the blessing in your life? Just enough faith to receive the hand as it's stretched out. Just enough faith to ask for a quarter. That's all. And so if you're on the margins of faith this morning, I just urge you, please, to reach out to Jesus. He is so much closer than you think. Jesus died on the cross so that the sins that separate you and me and us from God could be forgiven once and for all. His hand is already reaching out to you. Receive it. And as you look for those deep transformational places in your life, as you look for the answers to those prayers that you have prayed page after page after page after page after page, book and journal after journal after journal, and it seems like nothing is happening, don't give up hope. And look for the ways that God may be extending his hand to you through a fellow believer. He's closer than you think. Let's pray together. God, thank you that you don't give up on us. And in those places in our life where we have given up hope, where our prayers are frustrated, where our hearts are filled with anxiety, where we have even disconnected so much we can barely even make eye contact. Thank you that none of that stops you. Thank you that you love us so much that with even the smallest measures of faith, to ask, even the smallest measures of faith, to be willing to reach out for the hand that you've extended, that even those smallest measures of faith you can use to do miracles in our life. So God, I want to pray for those deep areas of woundedness that all of us have. Those areas of brokenness and bitterness and anxiety and frustration. Thank you, God, that your miracle work continues even here and now, that your Holy Spirit is present right here, right now, because God, we need you. And Lord, help us also to be like Peter and John, especially to one another, that we would remember where the power comes from, that we remember where the faith comes from, we would remember where the help comes from, that we would live in the power of the name of Jesus. That we would be able to reach out, that we would be able to make eye contact with the hurting. And so, God, as we remember what you've done for us, Lord, continue that miracle work in our lives. We open up our hearts to you. We open up our lives to you. We thank you. We thank you that your miracles continue still today. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we're going to move into a time of communion. If you're in a house church right now and you're gathered with some other Christians, this could even be a good time for you to jump off the live stream. I mean, just open up the questions that are on the videos, in the video descriptions, and just do church. I mean, just start talking, get real with one another. And if it's appropriate to serve one another communion, do that. But if you're at home right now, maybe you're on the couch with your family, you're in your breakfast nook, you're in your armchair, take out the bread, take out the juice, and let's remember through these elements what Jesus did for us and how close Jesus really is. And whatever you're going through today, whatever you faced last week, whatever you're going to face next week, he's here. Because friends, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body. It's given for you." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, remembering me." And so as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for this tangible reminder of your sacrifice, this tangible reminder of your forgiveness and grace, and this tangible reminder of your ongoing presence and power in our midst. Lord, would you use this time of communion together to strengthen us, fill us with your faith, that we can follow in your name in whatever life throws at us this week. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And so I'd encourage you, friends, if you're at home, to serve one another with the words that are on the screen. Christ's body given for you. Christ's blood shed for you. And so we're going to serve one another as the worship team leads us in song. Thanks, team.
God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to bless.
And so let's join together in the words of the Lord's Prayer. We'll put the words up on the screen. So whether you're in your home church right now, or you're just in your home, or you're on your own, I just urge you to say these words out loud together as a church family. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those that sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Thanks so much for worshiping with us. Thanks for commenting, encouraging one another on the live stream, and invite you to join us actually on the there's a Zoom link, and I think we're going to be posting that in just a second if it's not there already. Posting that, just click on the link, and we'll have an opportunity to check in with one another a little more personally, and an opportunity even to ask some questions about some of the upcoming things. So thanks. Thanks for taking the time out of your day to worship together. Thanks for trusting Jesus in an uncertain time. Thanks for receiving and living in the love that Jesus has for you. And thanks, church, for loving like Jesus. God bless you. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Amen.